Alex Clancy of Locked On Cardinals joins the show today to get you ready for week two, get you excited for the Cardinals season, Sun season not too far away, and we'll debate Chris Paul a little bit. All of that coming up right here on Locked On Suns.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, we are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. I'm your host, Brendan Kleen. I cover the Suns and the NBA at Dime Magazine. Follow me on Twitter at BrendanKleen14. Follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnPHXSuns. Joined by a fellow Locked On host today, Alex Clancy. Alex, how you feeling coming off that big Cardinals win? It's a great time to be the Locked On Cardinals host.
Yeah, on a cloud, man, and we deserve it after 2017 and 2018. Yeah, it's good. That's great rejoin music too. Great joiner music. A lot different than ours. I really appreciate it.
I feel really spoiled. I feel like my song is the best on the NBA side because whenever we do an NBA like big group show, our channel coordinator Nick will always use my music for the underneath of everything. I'm like, okay, I guess I got the good one, but. Yeah, it is a great time to be a Cardinals fan. That's why I wanted to bring you on. We're actually going to do this before week one, and I feel like now is even better. Obviously, you know, this isn't going to be too Cardinal-centric, but I have to give you guys criticism for one thing on the show.
Please.
Taylor Lewan tweeted that he was humbled by Chandler Jones, and you guys did not bury Taylor Lewan nearly enough. I get people want to give that guy a pat on the back, but like, he literally went out of his way to say, like, I sucked so bad that I have to, like, get in front of it.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, we were just taken aback by what we watched for the 60 minutes on Sunday. Like, there was so many. It was like being a 7-year-old and just having your parents just throw candy at you for 60 minutes. And it's like there was nothing else in our periphery. It was just in a vacuum. Magic. So yeah, you're right. Probably at this point would have been nice to poke a little fun, but there were so many positive stats and positive things to talk about. We only had 30 minutes on Monday, so it's like, well, I guess Taylor Lewan gets a pass.
No, you guys do a great job. Obviously, I'm kidding. It was just ridiculous. Like, rarely will you see a dude just be like, yeah, no, I sucked. I don't know. There's really nothing else to say. I mean, you get sacked, your quarterback sacked 5 times. I'm sure you're not going to come out and argue, but let's start here. Let's start with some Suns, and then we'll get into some more Cardinals. But okay. Chris Paul, you and I butted heads a little bit online during the playoff run, and obviously it's in good fun. But
yeah,
I have to debate you a little bit here now that you are on the show, because I just can't wrap my head around the idea of not appreciating that dude and holding him to the standard of just what the injuries have prevented him from achieving, rather than just, like, the closeness should be enough at some point to me. Like, did I guess maybe let me ask you this way. Did the finals and the performance that he had and everything else, did that change, or are you really just still going to look at it and say, you know, he got kind of hurt when it mattered? Because that really was stance a lot of the way through.
It was, and I think a lot of it is because I didn't grow up here. You know, and I've lived here for about 10 years. My watching of Chris Paul, you know, I'm a Laker fan. I grew up in LA, you know, but I'm not like to the point where it's like during the playoffs where the Lakers are playing, you can see both sides. If you're going to be a rational person, you have to be able to argue both sides of an argument. The Suns were by far the better team. But what I've seen through Chris Paul's just existence in the NBA is he's never really had pressure on him to perform. If you go to New Orleans, it was early, and they shot out of the gate. You know, weren't they the one seed with David West and Tyson Chandler?
Yeah, they were
great. I think early on, they were really good. And then, you know, the Clippers, they were bad forever. So the fact that they give a little sugar to that city, they could do no wrong with Blake Griffin. So there wasn't real pressure. And then he goes to Houston and OKC. He looks like the big brother in OKC, which is a great role for him. And then he comes to Phoenix, and you know, they're right on the precipice of something great. They just need that one piece, and it was him. And, I mean, you know, sitting back now, it's like, yeah. I mean, maybe I overstated a little bit. You know, like what he did and brought them to the finals, but it was just more of the same where he never has pressure on him to do anything. because he puts himself in these situations where he's the saving grace. And it's not a knock on him. Like, he loves doing it. Like, I used to love doing that, playing basketball, like going and playing with the younger kids and being the guy that everybody relied on. But when you need your leader to do something, he wasn't able. Like, it was the OKC playoffs where it was the last play, you know, when he dribbled the ball to who it was, Shea Gilgeous Alexander. I can't even remember. When it's, you say you take the big shots, he doesn't take the big shots.
And that's who took the last three, the one that Harden blocked. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And it's just like, wait, you talk this game and you do regular season, and then really when it counts, you fall short. And that's totally unfair in Phoenix. I completely understand it because he changed the complete landscape of the city, obviously, in addition with, you know, everybody else.
No, that's fair. I don't disagree with that point. That feels more fair to me. The fact that those expectations have never been there. Do you think he has them now? I mean, this season.
Oh, yeah.
We're definitely in for. I mean, this is like, okay, do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. Because this is the first time. Yeah, because, I mean, Houston, it was James Harden's show. So anything that went wrong, it was usually James Harden, you know, and then OKC, obviously. This is his last act. Now, the only thing that could mar that is he wants out after next year. You know, because nowadays it's like, just because you get paid by your favorite team, your favorite player gets paid by your favorite team, they're now a trade asset. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not imminent always, but that'll be an looming thing. He won't want out, but what if it's the right business decision to push him out and save whatever they can, you know, whatever. But yeah, I think it'd be fantastic.
Yeah,
because everything stayed the same for the first time in how long?
Exactly. I mean, that is such a unique thing about the NBA right now. It's the point I've been making all offseason. Like, I think I said on Wednesday's show, I would love to see the data in the NBA of players who signed 3+ year deals in the past 5 seasons and actually finished them on their team, who aren't like LeBron, Kevin Durant level players who, you keep as long as you possibly can. But it's right. So rare to see guys stay, and that will be looming over this team to an extent. But for the first season, it's gravy. I mean, this is really running it back as much as you possibly can. Both teams did it, the Suns and the Bucks, but you at least have Chris Paul as, like, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, right? He's an undeniable, like, they're going to do this 75 players in 75th anniversary thing this season. He's there. You at least get that part of it.
Yes. Yes, okay. Absolutely. No. And he's the last of the old breed of point guard. Like, even Rajon Rondo, because Rajon Rondo can't score, but he plays defense. Like, Chris Paul is 16-11 with 2.5 steals and 3.5 turnovers.
For 20 years.
That's what it used to be.
Yeah.
He could play in any era. Like, he's a guy that, at least in the 80s and 90s, like, he could play in any era and succeed over the last 30 or 40 years. And name another one that's like it. You have to be able to shoot the three ball now from 40 feet to be a point guard and be recognized. So I appreciate him for that. It's just, it's so genius. He's like, yeah, I'll go to Phoenix. And I'm sure, because Phoenix was one of the more exciting teams that he's ever played on. But, like, going to OKC, he shut up because he's getting paid $40 million and he has zero pressure on him to succeed. So all he's going to do is just mentor kids and play ball like he loves to do. He loves to hoop. But yeah, this will be very exciting this year, man. I'm really excited for you. And man, you get 82 games. We only get 17.
I get 82 games. I don't know if that's I don't know if that's good or bad, but we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how my soul holds up. That'll wrap us up for the Suns talk. I do want to get into some Cardinals stuff because that is the main event here. We'll do that right after a quick break. First, though, a word from Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. My favorite protein bar. Alex and I actually had a chance to meet with these guys. I've been telling you about it for a little while. They're building a distribution center not too far outside the valley, so you don't have to worry about time. You don't have to worry about anything. They'll be right here, ingrained in everything that it means to be a sports fan here. They'll be at events. They'll be doing discounts, I'm sure. You'll probably see billboards. And honestly, the selling point to me is you don't have to worry about them melting, because that really is an issue living in the Valley. And you don't want that to happen. These things are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're delicious. And the chocolate's the best part. It's not always there on a protein bar. We've all had really bad ones that are chalky. They're hard. They're gross. Built Bar really changes all of that. They're going to be less than 5 grams of sugar, less than 180 calories each and every bar, and packed with 17 to 18 grams of protein. So you got the classics like coconut, double chocolate, my favorite, or the rotating. You got orange, you got German chocolate for a limited time here. Those will change soon, so get those while they last. But the bottom line is each and every one is delicious. Now, in the near future, quick, right to your doorstep, and affordable. So what more could you want? Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Today's show also brought to you by Sweatblock, the doctor-created, doctor-recommended secret to confidence that you can wear right in your back pocket. We've all dealt with unwanted sweat, unwanted odor, and if you live here, once again, it is much more of an issue than, honestly, if you're listening outside of the Valley, I don't even feel like you can begin to understand. You might have the other concerns, the meeting, the first date, the anxiety, but multiply that by 10 for the heat here in the Valley, and that is what you're dealing with. Sweatblock cuts it right in its tracks. You just apply it. It's not like a normal deodorant. It's a wipe. It's like a little wet nap. You open it up, apply it wherever that moisture is. They even say to do it the night before. You don't even have to think about it the day of. It can last for up to 7 days. It's been tested by firefighters. It's been tested by over 13,000 Amazon users who have reviewed it, and it has been a bestseller there for up to 10 years. So again, that little secret to confidence, you can wear what you want to wear, bring it in a bag, bring it in that back pocket. It's always there for you. Do not have to worry about that sweat creeping up at the wrong time. So if you or anyone you know has ever dealt with this, maybe it's a gift, maybe it's a stocking stuffer as we get toward the holidays, but really anyone can benefit from this. Check it out at sweatblock.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off that first order. That's Locked On for 20% off at sweatblock.com, or check them out at Amazon and CVS. All right, Alex, back to you here. I have to admit something to you, which is that I gave you some, the Chris Paul thing, like we disagreed, I gave you some crap on that. But if I was in your shoes and we were doing the opposite show, I would be exactly the same level of cynical as you are about Cliff Kingsbury, that I think I couldn't do the show. I think I would just open my mouth and criticism would just come out, and then people, like, I would have been fired by David Locke already. How do you balance that? I have a Kyler Murray thing I want to get to, but like, yeah, that's such a fascinating part of this whole thing where there is that inherent doubt, and we've texted about this a little bit, but the talent is just inevitably there. Like, you can't get past the fact that the team has the talent to be awesome, and it's just this lingering, will it be awesome?
Yeah, I wish that Steve Keim would have built Bill Belichicked it and fired him at the end of last season. You know, it's a mixture of a couple things. Number one, he gets all the credit when they win first half of the year last year, when in fact it was Kyler Murray with plays that broke down. He uses legs, he scores touchdowns, they win. And then you realize that in the second half of the season, it was the same thing, but the defense got smart, kept Kyler Murray in front of them, and they lost games. Sure, Kyler was injured, but Cliff Kingsbury is a pre-calculus student who failed pre-calc and then was put up to AP calculus. That's what happened. Yeah. You know, he was bad everywhere. And Steve Keim, you know what? I'm the smartest man in the room. Cliff, you and your abs, you're going to be the head coach. And the first year was fine. We're like, I don't really know. They were down 18-0 or something to the Lions in week 1 of 2019. We're like, what has happened? This is, again, what has happened? And, you know, he got better last year, but the way I equate Cliff Kingsbury to his play calling, it's like he can sell you a very good movie trailer, but the movie's not that great. Where he can tell you, he can show, like, there are peaks from him, like, where is that? The other 65% of the play calls. Like, you are a wizard. And some people say, thinks he overthinks it. Some people say he's overmatched. I don't know what it is. I want him to succeed. I lost probably 20 Twitter followers after Sunday. So I'm like, yes, the Cardinals won 38-13, but they had 5 penalties in the first quarter and Cliff Kingsbury burned 2 timeouts. Like, well, you can't enjoy a game, man. It's like, what if it's a close game and that happens? Yeah. We saw that second half of last year. Like, enjoy it, sure, for 24 hours, like the team, and then be like, well, what's next? You know, there's another game. It's not like they won the Super Bowl. Yeah, so, yeah, it's a polarizing thing. Bo, my co-host, does a great job at telling me that I'm wrong. And he says he believes in Cliff. He thinks Cliff deserves a little bit more time, another year. But the problem is, the end of this year, that means Kyler Murray's rookie scale contract's almost over. So you're kind of playing with fire with that.
Well, that's a great place to go, because I did want to talk about Kyler. And the I used to bring Kevin Zimmerman from over at Arizona Sports on and make him talk to me about Book versus Kyler. And I think the debate has fizzled out because, look, the guy was just in the finals. He scored 40 points in a finals game. There's not much of a debate there. But I did a little segment last week about it. And the place that I came down, and, like, I really don't know how you feel about this because it's hard to know, and so it's hard to talk about. But the place that I came down on it was, like, Book is so consumed with work, like with just playing basketball. And I think that that's been a creeping suspicion about Kyler. You've heard it from reporters. You've heard it from, you know, people around here. Like, do you buy that? Do you think the guy that is part of the issue here? Do you think it's just Cliff holding him back? Do you think it's the injuries? Why have we not? Because I look in Buffalo and I'm like, there's no way that dude should be getting that team to that place before we're there. I know there's so much more context to it. But what do you think it is? Is it the work piece?
No, it's not the work piece.
Okay.
So we had Stephen Baca on our podcast, who's been Kyler's longtime trainer since they were 15. So they've known each other forever. And that was one of the best gets we got because he was just so candid. It's like, the dude works really hard. The issue is he plays a lot of video games and he's not dating a Kardashian and he's an introvert. And that's not a knock on Devin Booker whatsoever. It's just, he's an introverted dude. Like, when he got drafted, everyone's like, does he want to be here? No, he's not good in front of a camera. He's gotten so much better.
Yeah, like, very good now.
His leadership is just bleeding out of him now, which he's just not a rah-rah at all, dude. And one of my favorite lines, and I'm pissed that Jared Goff got traded because I can't use it anymore, is Jared Goff will win because of Sean McVay, and Kyler Murray will win in spite of Cliff Kingsbury. He's clipping his wings. This is what I think. We'll see what happens this year with the supreme amount of talent they have on offense. But, you know, it's not the work ethic. It's this just malaise over the Arizona Cardinals organization that's been there pretty much forever. He had fun with Bruce Arians, but this is the year where the culture needs to shift. It needs to shift. Otherwise, it's Armageddon. Otherwise, everybody's getting fired.
Do you think it's just that Kyler is that quiet guy and he doesn't advocate for himself, that he's not? Because, like, there are guys who go way too far in the other direction where they won't shut up about how much they love football, but meanwhile they go throw four picks on Sunday. Is it that he doesn't go out there and say, yeah, you know, I got in here at 4 a.m. and I brought Rondale in here and we've been throwing, you missed it, you weren't there. Should he be doing that? Does it matter? Is that why he gets underestimated?
He doesn't care what people think. And it's so obvious. To a fault, he just doesn't care. He shows up, and his whole life, he's probably been the most talented person on the football field. You know, you do the Floyd Mayweather pound for pound, because he's not always been the biggest, but you say pound for pound, he's been the best athlete we've seen. Like, it's just true. And the dude is an absolute specimen, and we'll see what happens this year. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson put him in a bad spot because they popped MVP-wise their second year. One sat out their whole first year, and the other one sat out a few games, and then he broke every single rushing record for a quarterback through his first six games because he wasn't ready to be quarterback, but they wanted to move on from Joe Flacco. So it's a completely different scenario, yet Kyler gets grouped in with them, and Josh Allen does too. Like, it's going to be a slower burn than the other two, but this year is the coming out party, and they play a murderer's row of teams. If they make the playoffs this year, I don't need to see anything else.
I feel you. And it is that second year thing is such a tricky part of it, because that's just the expectation. You mess up in your first year. You're a quarterback at the NFL. Welcome to year two. Where's the Pro Bowl and where's your trophy? How soon is that coming? It doesn't always work that way. It hasn't worked that way for him. I will say Tennessee on Sunday was one of the closest where I felt like I was seeing the guy that we saw in Norman again. Just the crazy, like, everybody online is talking about this guy again. And that was the norm every Saturday for 3 months when he was in college. It hasn't felt that way in a while. It felt that way on Sunday. Let's close that out, though. Let's talk. The other thing I want to ask you, Alex, is I bring so many people on the show, and I just ask them the pointed question of if this is a Suns town, and your team is the one that obviously vies for that top spot the most. So I want to just see what you think, having been here for as long as you have, worked in media and all that. But let's take a quick break first here from Rock Auto. We all know the issue. You walk into a car dealership, you walk into a retail store, you're not going to get what you want. You're going to First of all, probably be lied to. You're probably going to get told something's way more expensive than it is. You know that they're wrong, but what are you going to do about it? You don't have the part. You got to buy it. So let's imagine a world where that doesn't exist. That world is Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business. They've been doing this online for 20 years, which actually is pretty impressive. How many online companies have been around even for 20 years? They've been selling people who need a part for their car directly to them for that amount of time. So save 30, 50, even 100% more on the same exact part you might walk into the dealership and ask for at rockauto.com. It's super easy. You just type in the car that you have, scroll down to the part that you need, click purchase, and it's at your door in days. I've made purchases here. I can speak to it completely. It doesn't take very long. Shipping's reasonable. No subscription required. No account even. You can buy it as a guest. You don't have to put your email in or any of that. You are golden. Once you get to rockauto.com, they will get you whatever you need. So go check them out. Again, that's rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car or truck. And when you make your purchase, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Last but not least, today's show is brought to you by betonline.ag. Back and better than ever. All eyes on the gridiron and Alex's Cardinals as teams are back to start another football season. BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college action all year long. With the new and updated site and interface, it means you get even more odds, props, and contests while BetOnline continues to be the best place to make a bet. Just head over to the website. Again, that's betonline.ag. You're going to use the promo code NFL100 when you make your first deposit to get a 100% welcome bonus. That is right. Double your money on that first deposit. So from football to basketball, boxing, even your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline, again, the fastest and easiest way to make a bet. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's close things out. I'll ask you that question again, Alex. Phoenix, Arizona, the Valley. Is this a Suns town? Is it a Cardinals town? Where are the allegiances here?
I mean, now is probably the toughest time to answer that question. Because, I mean, you have Suns fans are special, man. I mean, they've been hybrid, but I mean, you have your diet. Suns Twitter is insane. Suns Twitter is absolutely insane.
You mean that
insane.
In a good way or a bad way?
It's certifiably insane. You can take whatever definition you want. It's a mixture of all of it. You know, it's a mixture of the blind love, unfollow block. If you say things that I don't agree with, it's the people that have been here since the 80s who are just getting onto Twitter. Like the good old days were back then. This team isn't, you know, whatever. And then there's people in the middle. There's great guys like you and other people that write for the team. Like it's insane. Now,
as someone who's on a Twitter hiatus currently, a little bit, I'm not fully. I tweeted during the Cardinals game, but like I'm on it less. I 1,000% agree. So don't feel like you're pissing them off. It is for sure. Yes,
it's great, but it's a great mix because you need it. It's not if you have all one sided fans that don't think rationally, you need the counterbalance, and you're all rooting for the same thing inevitably. You know, I think because if both teams are bad, it's split, I think, because it should be a Suns town because they were here first. You know, they were the organic team. Like, I completely get it. Gar Hurd in the 60s, I get it, okay? But when football's good, it doesn't matter how good the basketball team is, in my opinion. You know, and that's not a 100%, you know, it's not in a vacuum statement, but more times than not, football wins just because it's football. There's only 16 games. You know, the offseason doesn't end, even though the NBA is now pretty much on the same model that where they, you know, segment everything to where there's always a storyline somewhere, free agency, trade deadline, whatever.
Especially this year. There was no offseason.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. And then they will, and we'll see, right? I cannot believe that, by the way. I cannot, they're like, you know, we have to right the ship at some point. No, you could just start the season in December. Was it that bad? Why do you have to go to camp 3 weeks after the season's over? Anyways. But like right now, I don't think ever that there's been as much draw with the Cardinals and Suns simultaneously than now.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say? I mean, the Cardinals were bad for so long. And then the 2015 to 2019, the Suns were, a G League team.
They traded off. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess the Super Bowl run for the Cardinals was synonymous, was around the time with Steve Nash, with 8 seconds or less. But that was 1 year, and they had no business making it. So I want to just say it's a draw. Because you could say the Cardinals, but it'd be counterintuitive because of what we just saw with the Suns. And it's just a start. I'd say give me a 50-50. Give me 49-49, then 2%. You know, for the non-voting.
I lean more.
Yeah, right, for the Diamondbacks or something.
I lean more Cardinals than I think most Suns people do. And so I'm glad that you have the balance here, because I always tend to feel like the NFL is king in such a way that, like, the Lakers, I guess maybe that's maybe the one market where you could say that their relationship with football is so screwed up that the Lakers will always be king there.
And you could say the Knicks too. If the Knicks ever return to prominence,
yeah,
that's it. Like, you have the Yankees, whatever. There's a split fan base. It's always the Knicks.
Yeah.
And in perpetuity, they've had primetime games for no reason, you know, but yeah, you're probably right. It's probably just LA right now.
And I think you're right though, because that this is the most that it's been at the same time. That was the initial impetus of bringing Kevin on and doing that debate, is like, the other unique part of it is that there's young stars for both of these teams for the first time in forever. I talked about that all throughout the playoffs, how weird that was as a Valley sports fan person, whatever, is like Kurt Warner, Randy Johnson, Steve Nash. We've never had any sort of attachment outside of five seasons at a time to anybody. And now all of a sudden it's like, well, hopefully we don't go down the tragic outlook that you described about Kyler and the rookie contract and ruining that stuff. Right. And we have Devin Booker. So in that way, it's awesome. You got these two young guys you can build around and watch grow.
Yeah. I mean, this is the golden age for sure, of at least of potential.
Yeah.
So you can have this homegrown, like the Suns are homegrown, and Chris Paul, sure. But I mean, he's not 28 and you're not giving him, you know, $300 million. Like, it balances it out. And then the Cardinals, you trade for DeAndre Hopkins, but they're obviously less homegrown, but it's in the NFL. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just excited for both, man. I'm excited for both.
All right. I'll be at the Vikings game on Sunday. Who's winning? Who am I going to see win the game?
Cardinals, 27-17.
All right. There it is. He's at Clancy's Corner. You can listen to him on Locked On Cardinals. They do a great job. They're still going 5 days a week. I'm not yet. So you got the other 2 days for them. Come to me the other 3 days. And then when it gets bounced up, you'll just have 10 shows a week. But thanks for coming on, Alex.
Of course. Thanks for having me, man.